Daf is Daf Hey. So we got to the very last line of Dal Amud Beis. The Gemara is quoting the Mishnah, Umisaknin es kilkule hamayim shibir shusarabim. The Mishnah said you're allowed to fix any of the water, the cisterns and the wells that may have gotten ruined, the Mishnah said. And the Mishnah particularly said that you could do the chotetin osa. So what does chotetin mean? So the Gemara, I think Rashi explained that chotetin meant to remove any of the dirt that might be floating on top. That's what I think Tosos maybe wrote. So the Gemara is medayik now on the top of Daf Hey Amud Aleph, chatita in chafira lo. You have to do chatita, which is again removing any of the psoles that might be floating on top of the water, but to do chafira, to dig, that would be prohibited on Chol HaMoed. So Gemara says, Amar Reb Yaakov, Amar Reb Yochanan, lo shanu ela she'en rabim tzrichan lehem. This is only true if the rabim doesn't need the water. Aval, rabim tzrichan lehem, afilu chafira mutter. If you really need to dig deep, to tap into some water, so that then that would be permitted if the rabim need the water. So chafira is permitted, letzarchei rabim. So the Gemara says, asks, the chirabim tzrichim lehem, mishari. If the rabim really need the water, is chafira going to be permitted? Va'atani, the Braisa teaches us that chotetin baros shichin umaros shel yachid. You're allowed to do chetita, which is again cleaning out any of these types of water of the caves or the pits or the wells. Ve'ein tzarach lomar sharabim, and certainly, no, needless to say, for the rabim water, you're also allowed to clean out any of the residue that's on top. But ve'ein chofrin boros shichin maros sharabim, you're not allowed to dig a pit for the rabim. Ve'ein tzarach lomar shel yachid, and needless to say, you can't do chafira for an individual's need to drink. So my lav b'sharabim shichin lehem. So when it talks about that you can't dig for the rabim, is it not talking about a case when the rabim need it? And even though the rabim are tzrichin lehem, even though the rabim need it, the Braisa still says you cannot do chafira. So the Gemara says lo. B'she'ein rabim tzrichin lehem. So this Braisa is talking about when the rabim don't need it, so then you're not allowed to do chafira. But if they do need it, there's no other water, then even chafira would be permitted. So asks the Gemara, t'kavasa gavi yachid. So now, if that's the case where this Braisa is talking about a situation where there's water isn't needed, so we have to have a parallel case, t'kavasa gavi yachid. It must be by yachid, she'ein yachid tzarech lehem, so that the yachid doesn't need it. So then if the yachid doesn't need the water, is chatita mishari? Then even chatita, cleaning out some of the dirt on top, wouldn't be permitted either if it's not needed by the yachid. V'atani, the Braisa tells us, baros shichin maros shayachid, an individual's a well, kontin mayim letochan. You're allowed to use it to collect the water, avalo chotetin, but you're not allowed to do chatita of a yachid. V'lo shafanes sitkein, you also can't close up any of the cracks. However, v'shel rabim chotetin also v'shafen es siddikehem. When it comes to the wells of the rabim, you are allowed to clean out do the chatita, and you could also close off, plug any of the cracks. So we see from here that if the yachid doesn't need it, then chatita is not allowed. So again, what's the case? When's chatita, chafira, rabim, yachid? So the Gemara says, Ella, mai b'shel yachid, mai, it must be b'shel yachid tzarech lehem. So it must be the initial discussion was when the rabbin, when the yachid needs it. And what are we learning from here? So to kavase gavi rabbin b'sharabim tzrichan lehem. So it must be a parallel case that when the rabbin needed it as well. So, but we said above that chafira mi aser. If the rabbin need the water, there's nothing left for them to drink. Would we really say it's aser to do chafira for the rabbin? They shouldn't drink water until after yontif is over. V'atanya, doesn't the Braisa clearly state boros shichin umaros shayachid konsin mayim latocha and v'chotetin osa. When it comes to an individual water, you're allowed to use it to catch water, and you're allowed to do chatita to clean out all the dirt. Avalo shafenes sidkeyan, you're not allowed to plug any of the cracks. V'lo chotetin latochan v'lo sadin osa besid. You're not allowed to do what chotin latochan mean? Isn't that what you said? Chatita was permitted, we said, no?
It may not clear into them.
Okay, you can't clear it into it. Okay, I'm not sure exactly the difference. And then lo sadin osa besid, you can't line it in some type of plaster. However, v'shel rabim chofren osa, you're allowed to dig a rabim, a water mayim shel rabim, and v'sadin osa besid, you could also seal it. So ella kasha hach kamaisa. So now the first price is all confused. It's very, very confusing. So the Gemara says, tari tachi. This is how we're going to conclude. that when it comes to chotetin baros shayachid, you're allowed to do chatita, which is again clearing out the water of a yachid. B'sheyachad tarchlem, only when the yachid needs the water to drink. V'ein tarch lomar b'sharabim, kisharabim tshichan lahem. And needless to say, you're allowed to clean out the water of the rabim when the rabim need it. Because the afilu chafira mutter. Because even digging would be permitted for the rabim when the rabim need it. So certainly chatita would be permitted for the rabim when the rabim need it. But the ein chofrin boros shichin umaros sharabim b'she'ein rabim tshichan lahem. But you are not allowed to dig even a well for the rabim when the rabim don't need it, when there's other water to use. The ein tzarech lomar shel yachid, and needless to say, if it's an individual person in the water, dechi ein yachid tzarech lahem afilu chatita nami aser. When a yachid doesn't need it, so then certainly chatita will be aser. All right, a little bit confusing about the back and forth. And so comes along Amr of Ashi, Masnisa Nami Deka. The Mish is also very precise. The Katani Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim. The Mishnah concludes on Daf Beis, you could do all the needs for the Rabim. What's Kol Lasuye Mai? What's that coming to include? Lav Lasuye Chafira. Is that not coming to include that if the Rabim need water, you're allowed to even do Chafira? So we see Chafira is permitted for the Rabim. So the Gemara says, lo. That's not what the last line is coming to include. It's actually coming to include Lasuye Ha, to include the following case that's permitted on Chol HaMoed, which is the Tanya, Yotin Lekavetz Es Hadrachim. You're supposed to, you're allowed to go out to the streets and the roads and to remove any of the thorns or any other type of stumbling blocks that might be in the way. Ulisake Es Harachovich, you're allowed to fix the streets. Ves Hastartaos, which is, what's Hastartaos? Alleys? Yeah, I think mavos are alleys. What's the English definition for that? Did it have anything? Those who have to put you on the spot?
Market streets.
Market streets, fine. You're allowed to measure the mikvah to make sure it's the proper volume. The chol mikvah she'ein bo arbam sa'a, margilin tocho arbam sa'a. If it's lacking, you should make sure to fill it up till there's at least 40 sa'a. So that's what it's coming to include. That last line, these other needs of the rabbim are permitted during chol hamoed. How do you know if a person doesn't go out and fix them? It should be read, Shim lo yatsu v'asu kol elu. The guy doesn't go out and fix all these things. Shekol damim shenishbechu sham ma le'alem ke'akasav kilu heim shafchum. How do you know that if the person didn't fix it, if Bez Din didn't make sure this happened, the blood is on their own head for not fixing the streets and the mikvahs and everything else. It's their responsibility. Tamalomar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it says, V'haya alecha damim. It should be upon you damim. What's the context of this pasuk? Any context of the pasuk? No. Asiyas makeh. So I think it's talking about building a fence. Look what Tosis writes on top here. See Tosis Dimas of Hayalecha Damim? His parish of Beinu Chananel. Nakit le lahai kra. They chose this pasuk to be parshas makeh. Didami lahai to have a michshol. It's a michshol. To have a rooftop that's accessible and there not be a fence. So that's going to be a michshol by the Balabai. So too, whoever's in charge of the streets, they're responsible for any damage. So the Gemara says, how could you say that last line when the Mishnah concluded and said that kol tzarchei rabim is permitted in Chol HaMoed and give a bunch of examples, those were explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah? It asks the Gemara, Habehedio katanila, u'misaknin es adrachim ves rechovos ves mikvaos ve'osun kol tzarchei rabim, lasuye mai, lav lasuye chafira, shmamina. So it can't be coming to include to fix the streets and the mikvah because that was already explicit in the Mishnah. So the Gemara concludes that this line, when it says "Osin Kol Tzarchei Rabim," it in fact is coming to include that one is permitted to build to do a chafira of a mikvah for the Tzarchei Rabim. Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah, "Mitzayin es hakvaros." There's a Indian to be mitzayin and to point out where different kvaros were. So Amar Bishim ben Pazi, Remez Letzion Kvaros Min HaTorah. There's actually a hint to such a concept in the Torah. Minayin, where do we find such a thing? Tamilomar, they quote a pasuk, V'ra'ah Etzem Adam Ubana Etzlo Tzion. The pasuk said in Yecheskel, when you see a bone of a man, so you're supposed to place a Tzion, a marker. So Amar Le Ravin Le Ravashi. So Ha Mekame Dileisi Yecheskel Man Amar. So before Yecheskel came along, who was the one who, where's the source beforehand? So before we give to the answer, the Gemara oftentimes says this concept. Tosas writes, Dibra Maschil, Ha Mekame Dileisi Yecheskel. Before Yecheskel, where was this pasuk from? Where was the source? Kolomar ledidach damris dibizman hazeh havi midaraisa. So Tosus assumes that being mitzayin kvaros is actually a din daraisa. That's Tosus' assumption. You see that little notation in the aleph takes you to the bottom right corner. Hagos Mamre Ansberg. And he quotes a Gemara Nida, which seems to indicate it's actually a mitzvah derabanan only. So there's a machlokas whether being mitzayin kfaros is a din deraisa or a din derabanan. Either way, the Gemara, which assumes that it's deraisa, before Yechezkel came along and brought a pasuk, where did the concept exist? He can't create new mitzvahs. So the Gemara, before answering, answers with a question. It says, Latameich, according to your reasoning, Ha damer Rav Chista says in a different topic, Davar zeh mitoras Moshe benu lo lamanu, but midivir Yechezkel ben buzi lamanu. We didn't learn the following halacha from Moshe, but we learned it from a pasuk in Yechezkel. What's the concept? It says in Yechezkel, Ko ben nechar arel lev varabasar lo yavo el mikdashi. Mikasa, we see from here that a person who doesn't have a bris milah, who's not mahol, is not allowed to enter into the base of mikdash. So the same thing. So before Yechezkel wrote his Navi, so where do we find such a concept? So must be Ella Gemara Gemirla Vas Yechezkel Vas Mechakra. It must be that we had a Masorah, we had a tradition that a person who was an Ariel is not allowed to enter the base of Migdash. So Yechezkel took that Masorah and just put it into a pasuk. He put it into words. He didn't create the concept, he just solidified the concept. So Hachanami, along the same lines, Gemara Gemirle, we had a Masorah, we had a certain tradition that you're supposed to be Mitzayin Kvaros, and came along Asi Yechezkel Vas Mechakra, and he put it into writing, he put it into a pasuk. So Gemara says that's all according to the first opinion of the pasuk in Yechezkel v'ra etzem adam ubana etzlat zion. That's the source of being mitzayin es hakvaros. But comes along now Rabbi Abo Omer Mahacha. He brings another pasuk which supports the idea. That pasuk says v'tamei tamei yikra. You should call out tuma. Tuma korela v'omersa parish. You're supposed to somehow give warning signs to stay clear, stay far away from tuma. How do you accomplish that? By putting tzionim, that's how you set it up. V'chein amar Rabbi Uziel bar brei du Rabbi Uziel rabba, tuma korolo, v'omer eshla parish. Call it tame, this way people will know to step away, remove yourself from here. So that's a different pasuk. So the Gemara says, v'hai lahachi hudasa, is the pasuk of tame tame yukra really coming to teach me about being mitzayin es hakvaros? Hahu mibarle, it's needed for a different halacha, l'cha detanya, the tame tame yukra. When a person has tumim, particularly a guy has tzaras, he's supposed to tell people, I've got tzaras, daven on my behalf that I get better. That's the idea. Tell people, so they should daven for you. Nothing to do with being mitzayin es hakvaros. So then the Gemara says, Imkain, if it's really coming to teach me that you should tell people to daven for you, Imkain, lichtov, vitame yikro, just once, my vitame tame. What was the need to repeat the word tame? Shmas mina tarti. We learned two halachas. One halacha is tell people what's wrong with you, so they should daven. Number two is, you should be mitzayin as a tuma, so people should stay away. That's the second source of being mitzayin as a kvaros. The Gemara now brings a third source, abai amar mihacha, lifnei iver, lo titen michshol. Because if you don't mark it off, in essence, you're putting a stumbling block in front of the Kohanim, and they're going to become tame. Then Rapapa Amar, Vamar Solu Solu Panu Baderech, Panu Derech, turn away from the Derech. You're supposed to guide people, put the right signs that they shouldn't go to places that are tame. Rav Chanina Amar, he has another pasuk, Harimu Michshol Miderech Ami, remove any stumbling block from my nation, in this case, remove any tumah from my nation. Rabbi Yeshua Breid, Rabbi Idi Amar, Vodata Lehem Es HaDerech Yel Chuba, show them the proper, the Tahor path to walk. And Marzucha Amar, Vizartem Es B'nei Yisrael Mitumasem, you're supposed to warn B'nei Yisrael on the tumah. And Rav Ashi Amar, Ushmartem Es Mishmarti, Asu Mishmeres Lishmarti, do an extra protection of the people who should remain Tahor. And Ravina Amar, he gives it the last source, Visham Derech Erenu V'yesh Elokim. And there should be a path to show how to be protected from Hashem. Okay, so a number of psukim proving the point of being mitzayin es hakfaros. There's an interesting question that was raised to the Binyan Sion, who is the Aruch Laner. So he was asked, a Jewish woman had a miscarriage. And the fetus, it was obviously died, but it was fully developed. And a doctor wanted to know whether he could use this child and preserve it in order to use it to study the anatomy. So this was the question that was raised to the Binyan Siyum. So he said, you have three different chakiras about explaining the shaila, whether or not one would be allowed to. So number one is, he says, there's a mitzvah of kvura. There's a chiyav to do kvura based on the Gemara's in Sanhedrin. There's a mitzvah of kvura. So you have to bury the child. So he said that maybe there is no mitzvah of kvura here. What was the reason why there's no mitzvah of kvura? He said, he quotes from the Ramah that there is no mitzvah. He doesn't say why, but there is no mitzvah of burying a nefel. There is no mitzvah. We do, but there is no mitzvah. So there's no obligation to bury such a nefel. Then he says, what about there being an issue of getting hana? Might be a takala. That we learn from Miriam, Sham, that you're not allowed to get hana from any mace. You can't get any hana from a dead body. So maybe if you leave the body around, there might be some hana that someone could get it. We don't want to leave takalas around. So he says it's possible that maybe there's only an iser hana of a mace that there's an obligation to bury. If you have an obligation to bury a mace, so then there's an iser hana. But if there is no obligation to bury the mace, such as the case of a nefil, maybe there is no iser hana. But then he says, based on this sugya here, the reason why you're not allowed to leave this child unburied is because of the tumah. It is going to still be metame, and you have to be metzayin, it's a kvaros. You have to warn people to stay away. So to leave this mace in such a way where it's going to create tumah, that would be prohibited. Now, according to this line of reasoning, though, if you put signs up that no kohanim come in, that seemingly would be okay. If for some reason he wasn't concerned with the way you take care of that, it wasn't saying he was cutting up the body necessarily, but his concern was based on this Gemara, Mitzayin is HaKvaras. Okay. Gemara now says the last few lines of the Amud here. Amri Vashub and Levi Kol Hashem Orchosav Zoche Viroa B'Yishuasal Shekadosh Baruch Hu. Any person who follows the way of Hashem, he'll be zocha to see the Yeshua, the Gula. So the Gemara says now, Sham means to do a shuma, to do an assessment, to do an evaluation. The person does a proper assessment of how to walk, so then he'll be zocha to the Yeshua of Elkim. Last line of the Amud, Rabbi Yanai Havalei Hahu Talmida. Rabbi Yana had a certain Talmud, the Chol Yoma Hava Makshilei. He would always ask him questions. Okay, that's normal. We have people like that. B'Shabbos the Rigla Lo Havi Makshilei. But on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, he would not ask the Rav any questions or Rabbi Yana any questions. Why? This Rashi says, the very last Rashi in the page here, because it was a very big shir he'd give. Everyone would come listen to his shir. And if he asked questions Rabbi Yana wouldn't know the answer to, that would be very embarrassing for him. So therefore, he wouldn't ask questions on Shabbos Chol HaMoed because of the big crowd that was present. So the Gemara says, going on to the top of Amud Beis now, Kari Allah, so they refer to Rabbi Yanai as, rather Rabbi Yanai referred to this Talmud as Visham Derech Arenu B'Yesh Elokim. This person that was able to figure out Visham, he had assessed the different situations, when it's a proper Derech to ask questions and when it's inappropriate to ask questions. Gemara now says two lines down, Tanu Rabbanan. Ein mitzayin in lo al kazayis min ha-meis. You would not make a tzion. If there's a kazayis of the mace, you would not make such a tzion. Velo al etzem kesora. If there's a bone that's the size of a barley kernel, you wouldn't make mitzayin either, even though both of them are going to be metame. A kazayis of mace is metame, and an etzem the size of a kesora is also metame. So even though they're metame, the Braisa says you don't make a tzion. And velo al davar she'enu metame ba'ohel. So too, you wouldn't either make a tzion on something that wouldn't create any tumas ohel. Now the reason for this is, well, the Gemara is going to explain later on, fine. About mitzayin al hashidrif, there's a spine, val ha-gilgoles, which is a skull, arov binyan, if there's most of the bones that are there, the amount, not how many bones, but at least the majority of the bone, the frame of a person, and if you have, even though, let's say, there's a minority of how much bone there, but the amount of different bones that are there are rove of the amount of bones in a body, so then you would be mitzayin, because all those examples do create tumah. Vein mitzayin al havados, is counterintuitive, you would not be mitzayin on something that everyone knows is vadai tameh. One would not do this, because people already know not to walk there. I'm not sure why it's bad to have a second warning, but the Brisa says not to. Aval mitzayin al hasfekos. A person should establish a tzion in a place where there's a safek tuma. Where is there safek tuma? The Gemara says ve'elu hein hasfekos. The following are examples of safek: schachos, upraos, ubeis apras. The Gemara later on is going to explain each of these examples why they are a safek. Ve'ein ma'midin tzion b'makom tuma. Also, you don't want to place it tzion mamish on top of the tuma. Shelo lahafsi esataros. You want to put it a few steps away so the guy knows, oh, here's the warning sign. Good thing I didn't take one more step on top of the tuma. But if the tzion was mamish over the kever, so once you notice the sign, you're like, oh, it's too late now. You're tummy. So you have to put it a few inches away from the makom tuma. And then the Gemara says, ve'ein marchikin tzion mimakom tuma. You shouldn't make the tzion too far away from the tumah, because now you're taking away from all the land in between. Shlo lahafsi das Eretz Yisrael. So if the kever is there and you put a sign, 30 feet away, watch out for any tumah. So now all that space in between is all going to be wasted. So you want to put it close to the tumah, but a few feet away at least, or inches away, so there's enough warning for the person that he shouldn't walk on top of the kever. Gemara now says, Kazayis min ames einu matame ba'ol. Is it really true? If there's a kazayis of flesh of a person's body, is it really true that's not tame? Because we said above that we are not mitzayin on a kazayis of mace. But why not? It's matame ba'ol, as we have in the Brice of Atanya. Elu shemitamin ba'ol. The following are examples of things that have tumas ohel. Kazayis min ames. So kazayis min ames does create tumas ohel. So why would there not be a tzion if you see a kazayis of flesh of a dead body in the floor? So Amar Papa hacha b'kazayis mitzumtum askinam. We're dealing with something, a piece of flesh that's exactly a kazayis. It's the exact shear. And the sof, in the end of the day, michsar chaser, it's in a few days, however long it takes to decompose, it's going to be less than a kazayis. So look at the fascinating line right now. So eventually it's going to be less than a kazayis, and won't create any tumas ohel. So the Gemara says, Mutav Yisraelav Chuma V'kachim L'fisha Va Yisraelav Liolam. It's better for a person, it's better that we're metame just for a few days, avadai, even though people don't know about it, than to make people tame forever. Since eventually this kazayis is going to shrink in size, and there's no concern of tumah, if we place it seal and let's say this is tame here, people down the line are going to be thinking they're tame a few weeks from now, when in fact they really won't be. So the Gemara again says, which is a fascinating line, better to have tumah right now for the few days and not warn people, let them be completely onus, as opposed to making people think they're tame for years to come when it's not really the case. Okay, Gemara now says, Eilu hein hasfekos. The following are examples of a safek tumah. The Gemara says, schachos, uparos are examples of sfeikos, of tumah. What are these things? So schachos is an ilan hamesach al haaretz. It's where a tree is hanging over an area. So you know that a tree is able to bring tumah from a kever to someplace else. And then the paros are when the avanim, if they're rocks, they're pros, hayotes min hageder, where the rocks are protruding from a wall of some sort, where it's possibly bringing tumah from one place to the next. So a person shouldn't walk underneath these things, because apparently these were places where a person possibly would bury something. If a person, a lady had a nafil or something, they want a quick place to bury it, so then they would bury it below this little awning of this rock sticking out, or a tree sticking out. A terrible story. Someone mentioned that just the other day, they know somebody, I won't say where, that had a cleaning lady of theirs drown in their pool. And she was an illegal immigrant, and they didn't want anyone to get into trouble. So they found a place to bury her. Okay. I don't know any information, though, guys. Okay, so anyways. So
Steve, you can explain that.
I don't know
what to call.
Okay. Okay, anyways, so So people would sometimes bury a nafil in these convenient spots underneath some level of awning. So a person shouldn't walk onto these awnings, so they put these little tzionim, these little signs, these markers, and there's a safek tumah here. The third example of safek tumah is a beis hapras, What's Beis HaPras? So the Gemara explains, quotes the Mishnah, Kiditzan, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Olos, that Beis HaPras is as follows. HaChoresh es HaKever, HaReyahu Oseh Beis HaPras, a person who plows the cemetery, that turns into Beis HaPras, because now the plow is going to start turning over all the bodies, and crushing all the bones, and making them much smaller. So HaReyahu Oseh Beis HaPras, V'Kamahu Oseh Malei Maneh Me'ah Amah. So a person, let's say, assume there's one kever. There's a body buried in one area. Don't imagine a big cemetery. There's one kever. A person plows over it. He starts turning over all the bones and crushing the bones. So how far are we concerned now? He has spread the bones. It was a dal amos initially where it was buried. But after doing the plowing, how far are we concerned the bones may have been spread? So the Gemara says it's a male mane mea amma. Right, 100 amma is how far we're in radius, I guess, that we're concerned the bones may have been spread to through plowing over. So that's another suffix of Beis HaPras. We don't know if, we don't know where the bones are, but we should put up a tzion around this area. Don't walk here because it's suffix tumas mace. So the Gemara asks a question, Beis HaPras, Mi metame ba'oil? Is a Beis HaPras, again, this case we just gave an example of where you plowed through this field, is it really going to be metame ba'oil? V'ho amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, menafeach adam Beis HaPras v'holech. What should a person do to get through a Beis HaPras? If a coin's there, what should you do? What does menafeach mean?
Blow,
exactly. V'yipach. Ba'apach, exactly. So you blew the neshama through the nostrils of Adam. So menafeach means to blow. So a person should walk and blow out of the way any of the bones he might see to make sure he moves it. So that's what the Braisa says. The Rav Yehuda bar Ami mishmei de'ula amar Beis HaPras shenidash tahor. If it's been trampled on, nidash means threshed. It's been trampled on, people walk through it enough, so we don't assume there are any bones left. It either got crushed, it got disintegrated, it got pressed deep into the ground of some sort. But we see from all this, though, all you have to do is, as long as you don't touch the bone, you blow it away. But shouldn't we be concerned if you, let's say, a bone got buried below you, and you're walking over that, even though you don't touch it, tumas ola goes out of the rakia. So we see from the fact that all you have to do is just blow it out of the way, or you have a paved path that people walked over, there's no concern of walking in the Beis HaPras. That means there is no tumas ola in the Beis HaPras. And so the Gemara answers as follows. What?
That's only in a base where you're unsure.
Correct, exactly.
If there's a paved path in between, and you know there it's on the other side, maybe it goes over, it's a problem.
If you know, if you're walking over a cemetery, yeah, for sure. On top of a kever, that's 100%. That it goes right through anything. The only way it wouldn't get through if there's some level of chatzita, that's part of the shaila they talk about. The Gemara in Brachos, when he jumped over the Aronos, he would jump over the Aronos to go visit the king, even though he was a Kohen, to show how important it is to greet the king. And the Rishonim talk about, how could he do that? Because it's only a Tumah Midrabanan, because the way the Aronos is made, there's a little tefach. So once it's a tefach, now it's in its own ohel, and therefore it keeps it within. Exactly. So we have the Shailah, it comes up with a El Al planes. So if you have a mace on the bottom for quantum flying El Al, or any other flight for that matter, that might have a mace on it, so they said, well, it's in the chatitza, so if it's in its own ohel, it won't go through the rakia. So again, that's how it protects it. So you could, in theory, walk around. If you have an ohel around yourself, or if there's an ohel around the mace, you could walk by it. There is no tumah. Now, what's the problem with that when it comes to an airplane? Anyone know why that doesn't work on an airplane? Nope.
Flying over the cemetery because they pack the arrow full of ice.
No, that's not why. Because an ol zaruk lav olhu. A moving ol doesn't serve as an ol anymore. When it's stationary, fine. When you board the plane, so the coin's fine. But the moment it takes off and starts moving ol zaruk, that the Gemara says lav olhu, and then the tumah starts going right through, right under your seat.
But then it's only probably if you're sitting right above the arrow.
Correct, or you walk over the arrow and stuff like that.
Right.
So if they could, let's say, you know, it's on the right side. Exactly. So that might be a way around it, I think. Okay. Gemara now says, where are we? Amra Papa. Papa says, Lo Kasha, there is no contradiction. Kan Besadesh Ovid Ba Kever, Kan Besadesh Nechrash Ba Kever. if there's a field where you lost the kever, you know there's a kever somewhere here, no one put the proper matseva on it, so it's somewhere in this area, so then that's a problem of tumas ohel. But it's a suffix where exactly that is. But that certainly will have tumas ohel. But if it's a case where it's been nechrash, where it's been plowed through, then that's not even considered suffix anymore in terms of tumas ohel. Okay, the Gemara now says, V'sadda shenechrash b'kever beis ha'pras karile? Wait a second. If a field's called a plowed area, if a field's plowed, would you call that a beis ha'pras? Gemara says, in. Yes, we would. Batnan, the Mishnah says, Batnan oftentimes is a question, but here it's benichusa. Hatnan is a support that we in fact do call a sadda shenechrash ba. We would call it a beis ha'pras, as it says, shlosha beis ha'pras hein. There are three categories, three types of beis ha'pras. Sadda shenevad ba kever, a field that you lost, you don't know exactly where their kever, there is a kever somewhere here, you don't know where in the field it is, that's one type. Sadda shenechrash ba kever, another one that was plowed over and you crushed the bones. And then finally, sadda buchin is a third type of beis ha'pras. What sadda buchin, asks the Gemara, my sadda buchin, Rabbi Yeshua, or may bochin should be pronounced, Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba mishmei de'ula amar, sadda shemaftirin ba mesim. It was a field that they would leave the maser. What do you mean they leave the maser? Maftir, they just exit and leave the maser to, can't leave it to die, it's already dead, but just leave it to rot. So the Gemara says, rather look at Rashi. Rashi says two wide lines down. Shemaftirin ba es a mesim, you'd depart from the maser there. Shekishemavin mesim mi makum lekfor. When you transport the body from place to place. Kishabon besade samachlir, when you bring the body to the field close to the city where it's being buried in. Niftarn elu shevium mimkalman v'holchin lehem. So you have people bring the mace, and then we drop it off to the field. There's the meeting place, there's the sadr. We're going to go back to our way, and you pick it up from this point on. So that was called this sadr that shemaftirin is a mason. That's sadr bochin. Umikalban mehe osan v'rochsin osan sham v'kovrin osan. They'd wash the body, and then they bury the body. So, okay, so this was the area. So ask the Gemara, so time am I, why was this called a sadeh bochin, the field of crying? Because Amar Avimi Mishima Yeush Bailim Nagu Ba. Yeush Bailim Nagu Ba. What's Yeush Bailim? So Rashi explains here, Mishima Yeush Sai, my time, and why is there a chashash of Tumah in this area? So he says, Mishima Yeush Bailim, Lefisha Avim Limakum Rachel Nidal Del Aver Venefel Shadafel Sham. It's possible it took some days and the body started to decompose. They didn't have the types of freezing that we have. And then maybe a limb, a finger, something would fall off, and it's terrible that should happen, but it could happen that a finger or something, another limb, would fall off in this area, and they'd miss it, and you move on. So since a lot of mason were coming to this field, there might be some evarim that are here and create tumah. This is the third type of suffix. Gemara now says, Sadda shenechrash ba kever lo bayit zion. A field that's been plowed, that the kever there had been plowed, doesn't require tzion. Because we said above, only a sada she'ovid ba'kever, where you know there's a kever somewhere, but the maseva got lost. So that's, there's vade a mace somewhere here, that requires a tzion, we paskin. But we said above, if you plowed over it, you don't need a tzion. You just have to be careful when you walk through, just blow that, make sure there's no bones that you're touching. So you don't really need a tzion. V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa tell us, matza sada mitzuyenes. If you find a field that's marked, we'll see Monday night how they would mark it. They'd use white plaster, lime, because the white reminds you of the etzim, the bones. That's the reminder. That was a color they would use. So if you get to a field and you see white painted, so what do you do? And you don't know any of the mativa. We don't know the nature of this field. If the yesh ba ilanos, if there are trees here, biyadua shenechrash ba kever. Because for trees, you'd plow around the trees. The plowing would actually be very beneficial for the trees to grow. So if there are trees, so you know for sure they plowed here, and they must have plowed over a kever, so this is a sada shecharish ba kever. Ein ba ilanos, but if there are no trees, it's just an open field, nobody plows an open field. There's nothing doing there. Why did anybody waste their time in an open field and plowing it? So if there are no trees, there was no plowing, so then biyadua she'avid ba kever. So then the other option is, it must have been an area that you lost the kever. There's a dead body somewhere buried in the dirt here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheh Sham Zaken Otamid. The fish ain't Bako Bekima Davar. You don't know. You can't make any assessment until you look for the oldest man in the community or a Talmud Talmud Chacham who's there who might be able to tell you what happened. Other than that, you cannot make any assumptions. So what we see from all of this, though, is there's a tzion. You had a tzion here. There was a marker. And you wanted to know whether it was a sadesh avidba or a sadesh charish nechreshba. So we see that even a field that was plowed does have a tzion. So answer is Rapapa. I'm Rapapa. Kitanya hi b'sadesh avidba kever. This Bryce is talking about a situation of a field that had been, you lost the kever. But so it says, if it's a field that you lost the kever in, yesh ba ilanos biyadua shenechash ba kever, so now it's already been lost. The first point was you have some white lime plastered onto it. So you know that this is a sadesh avid, but you lost the kever. Now in addition to that, you see that there are trees here. So that means someone plowed over. So now there was once a kever that was lost there, but now you could assume it was plowed over. You don't know where this kever is, and now you know it's plowed over. So again, yesh ba'ilanos biyadua shenechresh ba'kever. Ein ba'ilanos, but if there are no trees, so then biyadua shavir ba'kever. So then you know that this was not plowed over, and the mace is still intact wherever it might be. So the Gemara's, yeah. How does it help? With proceeding forward,
it would still be the same kind of case because if you don't know where the
no, because if you're kohen, so you can't if it's shavid ba, if there's no trees, you can't walk in here at all. It's too much ohel. Now, because you could just blow out of the way and to make sure the path is clear. So Gemara now says v'leichesh duma ilanos migavai v'kever mibrai. What's the Gemara's question now? Maybe you should be concerned literally that the ilanos, the trees, are on the inside and the kever is on the outside. What does that mean? Okay, in between the trees were helpful, but not outside. And therefore, maybe around the trees, you would be able to, sorry, you should be concerned, rather, it's avidba, that it should be lost, and you don't have the heter of nechreshba, because you only plowed in between the trees. So the Gemara says that no. Kidamar ula, b'deomdim al hagvulim, hachanami b'omdim al hagvulim, that they are sitting, the trees are on the borders. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains the last line, shor rishisarabim. They're on the border of Rishus HaRabim. Divadai leka tuma mivrai. There's definitely no tuma on the outside in the Rishus HaRabim. Nobody buries anything in the Rishus HaRabim. Dilo kavri inish b'Rishus HaRabim. Elabein ha'ilanos havya tuma v'nechash b'shvil ha'ilanos. So I imagine the case is where you have a tree there and a tree there. So on the outer parts are two highways, but in between is where the plowing took place. So that area would be where they plowed it, and that's where there was a concern there would have been a kever perhaps buried in between the trees. So you do have the heter of the nechrashba. So then the Gemara says, V'dilma, maybe you could think that tuma migavai vilanos mivrai. What's this case here? Maybe the tuma is on the inside and not between the trees. So the Gemara says, B'musuvachin, where it's not a straight line, rather they're scattered about along the borders, and therefore you can't figure out where exactly the kever may have been. Alternatively, Gemara concludes, and we'll stop here. Yibayisema ha'amran ein marchikin tzion mimakum tuma shlo hafsid es Eretz Yisrael. We said above that we didn't want to place a tzion too far away of the makum kever. So wherever you find that tzion, you assume that the kever is in that vicinity. Okay, we will stop here, and Mirtz Hashem will pick up Monday night. Everybody have a wonderful Shabbos.